Welcome to everyone. This is Lina Mirmond. I'm Lina Live with my extra program because I had this very rare opportunity to speak with absolutely outstanding doctor and his focus, expertise, talent, and devotion is rotating around the eyes world. So we're going to see the world through his eyes. And I need to introduce Dr. Robert Abel and invite him to our discussion. Welcome, Dr. Abel. How are you?
Well, thank you, Lina. I look forward to being with you and your radio listeners. And if I can share some information, it would certainly be my pleasure.
Well, we are going to catch every piece of information, knowledge, and your experience, especially because it does touch both worlds, sort of speak, traditional medical world, but also alternative medicine. And I understand that you're one of those doctors who have wisdom, intuition, which is plugged in with the traditional knowledge of medicine. And during the course of the program, I certainly will go through some of your major accomplishments, one of which made me extremely impressed is your patent for artificial corneas and some other innovations. But of course, that was as a result of your education, which had to do with Jefferson Medical College, which I believe you graduated in 1969. Then your presence was in Mount Sinai Hospital, and also you were cornea fellow at the University of Florida. So the list really of your education is incredibly impressive, and that created this fantastic foundation for your practice and for your vision. In a literal sense, vision for the vision and a vision in your thinking. So I will start by asking, how and when did you come to the realization that indeed the eye, as a center of universe in our body, would connect to the whole body, will indeed mirror the health or some deficiencies of the health which we can experience in a body as a whole, but indeed will have some sign of it starting in our eyes?
Well, I guess, you know, we all learn as ophthalmologists about the eye and looking at diagnoses, et cetera. But what we don't learn is the fact that the eye is such a high-powered mechanism. It's designed to focus light. Light is fire, so that the inside of the eye is liquid except for two lenses, the cornea and the lens. And they focus light onto the retina. The retina has your highest metabolism in your body. Every time your eye is open, you're looking at things, your cells break down, build up. And all of the nutrition for that eye is in the liver. And once you understand that what you eat is what you are and what you see, it takes a whole new perspective. And that, they don't teach you that in school. You learn that through nutrition courses. And then you start realizing that you can rebuild the eye or protect the eye through natural methods. The four things that actually affect vision, the four areas of stress, are the UV portion of sunlight, poor dietary choices, poor lifestyle choices, and stress in general. And you realize that the whole body works together, and if it doesn't work together, then we start having visual problems.
Well, this is very comprehensive and a detailed answer. I like to stop in one detail, and that is the liver, because very few people would immediately associate a connection between eye and the liver, and yet you just explained this connection. I like to ask you, is that particularly becoming a greater issue at a later age, people who have some, not only high cholesterol, but who are certainly having no attention to their dietary intake? Are the greater danger of developing premature cataracts and some other problems with people at an older age with a poorer diet?
I think you already know the answer, Lena, as you're indicating. What happens is as you get older, your chromosomes, the end of your chromosomes, the telomeres start shortening so that things happen, and your pharmaceutical load in your body increases. And the drugs you take either get metabolized in the liver or the kidney. And so when your liver gets busy with polypharmacy, it's not available for doing all the things we need to do for the eye. So getting older means you've had longer chance at sunlight and more drugs and bad foods and chance of diabetes and then the treatment of diabetes, which may affect the liver. So people don't realize that they have to feel, you know, themselves. And the guide for vision is how quickly you recover in the dark. How quickly when car headlights go by that you're able to recover your vision. And that's why there's certain nutrients that are critical for good vision, and they also turn out to be the exact same ones for brain health. Every major brain degeneration appears to be associated with decreased vitamin D levels. So D supports memory, supports macula, supports immunity, supports your telomeres from shortening, and then a whole bunch of others that I'm sure you're going to discuss.
Yes, and I just wanted to jump into collagen issue, but I like to pick up on your stress on vitamin D and perhaps going a little bit off track, but taking into consideration your incredibly well-spread knowledge. There is a somewhat misconception about taking D and vitamin D and calcium. And it was somewhat a misconception because it was a strong conviction that calcium with vitamin D will prevent or improve osteoporosis. When indeed later years, it turned out to be that calcium is not so kind and it goes into the places where it doesn't need to go, provoking calcification. And indeed, vitamin D, the center of this problem, and needs to be greatly attended. And they started to talk about forms of vitamin D with increasing dosage for this. So I wanted to ask you, do you have any particular connection between calcium, calcification, and the eye life?
Is there a connection between calcium
and calcification, which is a very undesirable process in the body, and some deterioration of the eye eye life?
Well, I have to tell you, a number of years ago, I saw a lady who took Tums for her tummy for 25 years, and she calcified both corneas.
Wow.
But that is highly unusual. But again, the eye is the window, as we said, to the body and perhaps even the soul. And so you can see everything in the body. So that if there's extra calcium, that may be a place you can see it. You may see it in hardening of the arteries, et cetera. But you're very correct that we have been misdirected by thinking calcium was the issue for bones when it was vitamin D is the issue. Because without the D, you don't put the calcium in the right place, and you don't even absorb it. So you're correct in that. And I've always thought that, you know, D is actually UV light hitting cholesterol. And so people with high cholesterol may be having high cholesterol in part because the body is trying to make more D. And since it doesn't know what's missing, it makes the precursor more cholesterol. So taking D might even be helpful, beneficial for cholesterol control.
Very, very, very interesting. I'm going to go to collagen because that is the big issue for cornea. And I like you to comment on this. These collagen fibers can change. And I like to know the role about this. And again, with the age, what one would expect or perhaps prevent.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because with age, what happens is you often make less protein. You often eat less protein. And you habituate your meals. You're used to the same breakfast and lunch, and maybe you have dinner out, maybe you don't have dinner out, maybe you don't want to cook, maybe you live alone, and so you don't feel the inspiration to eat a very balanced diet, and that may be understandable. However, with less protein intake, collagen is a protein. 1/4 of all the protein in your body is collagen, the connective tissue parts of your body, under the skin, in the muscles, and in the cornea, which is 90% collagen. So with lack of protein intake, people get more astigmatism. And I mean, that is the most common thing from low protein in the eye and collagen production. And the question is, how do you get more collagen? Do you eat collagen or do you just eat protein? Because the body somehow knows what to make. And I don't have an answer for that. But I'm also amazed at your knowledge of health and medicine and eyes, because this is not a very common feature, that most people do not understand the role and integral connection between what you eat, what you supplement with, and how your vision and how your general health is.
Well, I like to sneak vitamin B2. Would it be somewhat helpful to metabolize better protein and to keep collagen supply somewhat more efficient for the eye life?
Well, I think you want to have, since all the B vitamins are coenzymes for neurologic function anyway, that you want to be taking a B complex every day, you know, a low-dose B complex. There's too much folic acid out there. I'm going to divert a little bit. And all the foods are getting supplemented with folate. Apparently, folate depresses B12. And B12 is the most common deficiency in the elderly. And when you have low B12, you have staggering and less proprioception. You have loss of some of your mental facilities and have anemia. So the key is taking sublingual B12 as well as your B complex. But I think taking the B vitamins is certainly helpful, as you said, in some of these reactions that help develop protein and collagen in particular.
This is something incredibly surprising to me, that folic acid will contradict to B12 group. It is so highly recommended for heart and especially after open heart surgery. And yet, again, we have to discriminate and to be so aware what we're taking and how it can live together in a peace or in a war with other supplements.
You're exactly right. And the fact is that what you've learned, and especially what your doctor knows, is usually probably 3 years old. And the more we study, the more we know. And the more we listen to patients and other people, the more we get insights. And it is really very interesting. I went to Africa for 2 weeks, and all of the food there is natural. They have no preservatives, no pesticides. They don't have agri-farms where they grow their beef. And within 8 days, I realized my reading vision without my glasses got better. And I've heard stories of people telling you that. So you listen to the stories what people tell you, and then you start making, from anecdotes, hypotheses. But in the nutrition field, there's some people who are well-educated, and some people are researchers, and you need to be comprehensive in your knowledge. The American Journal of Clinical Nutrition is probably the most up-to-date one, but even there, it takes 9 months to get an article into print. So you always have to look for new people, new ideas, and then take them and see how you feel by taking them into your own body.
We certainly will be discussing your book, The Eye Care Revolution. But before, I'd like to, if you do not mind, to continue talking about supplements. There is one supplement highly recommended, and my pronunciation will be so off that I'm not even sure you will understand what I'm talking about. So I'm trying to do my best, and the name of it, lutein. And if it is...
Lutein, you're right.
Oh, lutein, thank you.
You got it.
Well, so much said about this, and I wanted to ask you, are you as enthusiastic as I am about it?
I think I am. You know, the interesting thing is, we discovered lutein. It's one of the carotenoids in the family of vitamin A and beta carotene. And there's other carotenoids, which are hesperidine, zeaxanthin, zeaxanthin, and lutein. Lutein is a yellow pigment, and bees will go to yellow flowers first because they see the reflection of UV light. And that's why lutein works so well in the retina and layers in the macula as a sort of a filter, a mirror to bounce back some of the UV and especially the low blue light rays. We learned lutein from animal husbandry. Kemen Foods is a company that found lutein was helpful for animals. And when you think about it, all of the eggs you see in the marketplace have a yellow yolk, and that's because the chickens are fed lutein. Well, lutein in people helps prevent macular degeneration and also has a 20% risk reduction for cataracts. So when you put that together, that's impressive information. And I'm excited because I created a vitamin with omega-3 and lutein in it together, because omega-3 builds your cell membrane. Lutein helps deflect the toxic short wavelengths, primarily in the blue range, but some of the UV.
What a fantastic information. I think it will help me already in a much higher degree, because what I heard from you, you instilled this spiritual vitamin and energy, and now this lutein will be even yellower and more expressive. But it is certainly such a wonderful information, especially because you can get it in a health food store. It's not something extremely costly, but of course one needs to be very aware of a good company and clean and clear quality, and get it just for everyday use.
Actually, you know what? If you eat spinach or collard greens or even the other broccolis, et cetera, you, 3 times a week, you'll get a tremendous dose of lutein. So, I mean, a cup of spinach 3 days a week will give you 6 milligrams of lutein, which is a daily recommended dose. And some of the multivitamins will have only a pittance, like a little bit of a microgram in there, and they'll say they have lutein, but they won't have as much as really is necessary. But you can get it in your diet.
Wonderful. There is one subject I wanted to talk about, floaters. It can be a very dangerous sign of cornea detachment. I like
you mean retinal detachment.
Oh, no, detachment?
Retinal detachment?
Retina detachment. I'm so sorry. Yes,
that's okay.
Retina detachment. Absolutely. What is the prevention for floaters, and what is the floaters? I understand it's some kind of drying out process in an eye liquid material, but why some people have it and some don't?
Well, a floater will mean anything that floats in front of your eye and looks like a bug floating around. You know that it's not in the retina, because if you had a spot in the retina, when you turn your eye, it would move with your eye. But since it's in the liquid of your eye, when you turn in your eye, it would jiggle. And therefore, it would seem to be floating, etc. Now, most floaters are a change in the vitreous gel. And therefore, they happen suddenly and you see a piece of the gel break off and floats right in front of your vision from your blind spot. So it breaks off from your optic nerve, which is your blind spot, and then floats off right in front of your vision. Most cases of floaters are that, a benign event. A few are tears in the retina because where the vitreous breaks off, it can pull the retina off in the periphery. Therefore, if you see flashing lights and floaters, you should get an examination within a couple days just to be certain you don't have the bad variety. The odds are it is not. So a floater is usually a vitreous change or a tear in the retina, and only an eye doctor can tell.
Is there any way it can be prevented? And what is the nature of it and why we are faced with this?
What happens is we rub our eyes, we bend, we lift, we strain, we get hit in the head. All of those things liquefy the normal jello-like vitreous. And as it gets more liquidy, it can pull off its attachment around the optic nerve and then float into place. So that age is definitely a factor. Almost everyone between 50 and 75 gets it. And so you don't be surprised, but you do be proactive and make sure that it is a benign event. What you can do is take maybe 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C, because that will help keep the vitreous clear. High levels of vitamin C in some people, not everybody, can help keep the vitreous clear and avoid the detachment, but even after the detachment, help the floater sort of float away.
I see. I like to, before we'll take this musical break, I like to talk about glasses and protection against excessive amount of sun. There is no secret that we are faced with a huge market of sunglasses, and some of them have this falsely promising indication that they are indeed thoughtful glasses for our eyes. Some don't have any indication. Some are astronomically expensive, and some just would not do anything. Any particular commercial recommendation you can have, or maybe give some company which indeed will be reputable and will be safe to approach buying glasses?
Well, I'm like you, Arlena. I look for simplest whenever possible. And quite frankly, expensive glasses don't have to be any better than cheap ones. When I went to Africa, I took with me a whole box of sunglasses that are used for after cataract surgery. So they cover the top and the sides, as well as give you good protection. They cost $1 a piece. And you can get a pair of sunglasses and go to your optical shop, your optometrist, or your ophthalmologist, whomever you see, and get it measured to be certain that it is 100% UV blocking. You can have it measured to know it's 100% UV blocking, and it doesn't have to be expensive. So you don't say, you got to do Maui Jims. You know, polarized are a little more helpful, but UV blocking is very simple in the plastics. It's even in the intraocular lenses that go in people's eyes to cataract surgery. So it is common, and it's just get the glasses measured to make sure what your product is good. And if your place does not measure it, it means they're probably not an adequate optical shop.
Very important information to measure it. Extremely yes. Critical information. There is also misconception that in the winter time we do not need glasses as much as in the summertime. I think it depends where you live and the climate and how bright sun is, and also how far you are from some nature and how you're exposed to sunlight. Is climate and sunlight really vary?
Well, sunlight is less potent during the winter, especially if you're in northern temperate climates. But you then get reflection off of the snow, and you're still getting UV light coming in because the ozone layer is thinning. And if people have had LASIK or have dry eyes and they get a little more sensitive, they should also be wearing glasses for that reason. We also know you don't get enough sun in the winter on the other hand, and that's why you need the vitamin D. Because when a young person falls, they sprain a joint. When an older person falls, they break a bone because the tendons are much tighter than the bone is. And so vitamin D, again, is necessary. But wearing sunglasses, even in the winter, especially in the snow or at the beach, is very important, just as you indicated, Lena.
And we will have a little break finishing our first part with my distinguished guest, Dr. Robert Abel. I'm sorry. So I will hope that Dr. Abel will catch a little break with us, and we will listen to this brief little piece of music, after which we will be continue with talking about his book, The Eye Care Revolution. We certainly will be talking about cataracts and some other issues which are so relevant for our eye care and our body care. With our discussion regarding our eye health and longevity of our eyes. And I have very remarkable doctor, Dr. Robert Abel, who has such an open mind, such endless knowledge, and a connection between regular medical care and alternative care. And we've already been exposed to a wonderful exhibition of various vitamins, various recommendations regarding the eye exposure towards the sun, and we're going to continue talking about his book, a very new, very popular book, which has the Eye Care Revolution information. And I'd like to ask you, how would you characterize this book and where we will be able to find our personal answers? What are the issues you are concentrating in this book?
Well, very good question, indeed. I decided years ago that conventional ophthalmologists were interested in basic solutions to help reduce, vision problems and then treat them, because you need prevention at every level. Even if you have a condition, you want to prevent it from getting worse. I mean, for instance, water for cataracts, because the lens of the eye doesn't have a blood supply, just drinking water. Relaxation and parasympathetic stimulation for glaucoma, since it's a disease of stress. Macular degeneration is starvation of the retina. I mean, lots of light coming in, but not having enough nutrients to go back and fortify it. So, I mean, the book can be obtained anywhere at any bookstore or from KensingtonBooks.com, KensingtonBooks.com, or you can go to my website. My website is called eyeadvisory.com. If you do not find a simple answer to your own particular question, then you send me a letter and a note, and I'll answer it in due course. So I recognize that there's a tremendous need out there. Last month, I got 1,600 hits on my website from 46 different countries. And it shows you by the diversity of the population that doctors are not giving people information, or they're not listening, but we'll just say they're not getting the information to know that there are always options in terms of improving themselves, even the option of not doing something. But there are always options, and that we need to be responsive to people and help them out.
I need to confess that I didn't have a chance yet to get your book. And the reason was, the reason was that when I got involved in reading about your accomplishments and your Delaware Center of Ophthalmology, I frankly did not, I did not have enough opportunity to go and to get the book, which I certainly looking forward to get. I also wanted to ask you how brave you are to expand this incredible knowledge and, in fact, motivate the patient to be on much greater control on their eye, I call it eye life, because if you come to the doctor's office with a problem and you want to have this, so to speak, shortcut, which is so popular to have, and expectations are so shallow, how wonderful that is that you give this incredible open opportunity to be your own to be your own boss, to inspire your patient to be in the control of your body, whether it's an eye or some other organs. And I particularly salute to your mental approach, your professional conviction and your diligence, because we are on a such a difficult stage with medical care. And certainly this alternative medicine becoming very handy. It is something which one can learn about, can get without going to the doctor if has some minimum knowledge. And with knowledge like this, one can come to your office and get even better treatment, because this patient will be that much more informed. So he will get that much more from your treatment and from your recommendations. So did you find somewhat a correlation between the patients who just come and say, here, I have a problem, please help me, and the patients who come and says, well, I'm aware that I have this problem and these sort of things I already took under my control. Is anything else you can suggest?
Well, you circled around a lot of things. Number one is, I always realize when you're 50 years old, life, the first 50 years are practice, and then it's for real. And you have to have the courage of your convictions. And since I've also had a reputation in traditional ophthalmology, I've had the Senior Honor Award from our academy. I've published a lot of articles, 120 articles, written chapters and books. So, I mean, they can't poo-poo me because of the traditional side. I realize that the amalgamation is much better than either. I've also was friendly with Bob Atkins and saw what he went through, but what I go through is not so much different. That I don't mind people not denying it, because the patients are your best friends. And some people say, I already take too much medicine. Other people say, let's work together on a solution. And they got a problem, you have their full attention. And that two things cause transformation, I find. One, well, maybe more than two, but one is being ill. You have someone's full attention. The other is telling a joke. When you tell a joke and there's a switch over 1 second, the whole idea changes because they hadn't thought of switching the paradigm. And the moral of the story is that physicians have a tremendous amount of power and that they don't realize that they don't always use it well. And if I say you're going to go blind, that is a tremendously powerful thing to tell somebody, and usually thoroughly erroneous. So that we need to be very cautious in terms of how we use our power and never to destroy hope because none of us know all the answers. So the answer is there's plenty of options, just as you said, Lena.
Well, thank you for clarifying my dancing around questions and points. It's so, so helpful. I wanted to ask you some specific question about the examination. I had experience actually in Boston, Massachusetts, to be at the ophthalmology center, which was established by Dr. Pomerantz, I believe his name. He is not alive, but his wife is a very, very dear friend. In fact, since you mentioned a joke, I will tell you a live joke. No one knows how old is she. Maybe she is 90, maybe she is even over 90. But she never used glasses. And when we ask her, don't you find glasses somewhat more comfortable to use? And she says, maybe, but if I will use them once, then I will leave some place and I never will find them. So it's much easier for me not to use them at all. So her vision is unbelievable, and she is well over 90 years old. So the point of the story is that when I went there, just I believe at that time it was just for a checkup, it was quite a profound experience with the pictures, with examination of the doctor, measurements. I felt that the whole eye depth was very, very carefully checked. Well, number of years after that, I went to another doctor. I would not say that she was less diligent, but it was not as near as involved. She did check the eyes with certainly all this modern technology, but she didn't take any pictures. And when I asked about this, she just told me that if I like, she can take a couple. Yes, and then...
I got to turn the phone off.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah. It's a lovely tune.
It's a nice tune, isn't it?
It's a wonderful tune, not only for the eyes, but for the ear as well. So when I asked her why she didn't take any pictures, she said, if you like, I can take a couple of pictures. So the discrepancy and difference of those two examinations were absolutely stunning. So what one would expect to go to the ophthalmologist?
Well, the fact is this, you know, a lot of people like to go to the head of the department, the chairman of the department, you know, because it sounds good. And what happens is you go to the big institute, they do a lot of tests. Now, sometimes the tests are really valuable because there's no question we need a fusion of high technology and common sense, which is an unusual combination, but obviously most natural. So I can't make a decision. Now, if you are a borderline glaucoma person, then there are a lot of tests that will help clarify, do you or don't you have a problem, and is there progress, and how do you change therapy? But I can't make a judgment on doing more tests or doing less tests, but if you know that you've seen the results of the test and know they correlate with your condition, then obviously you know they're necessary and can be used as a baseline and for follow-up.
I understand. Like to talk about cataracts. It is very successfully treated, and there is certainly a surgical procedure, and it stopped being a fear point. But there is certain things which are, I believe, is a myth, because in some instances it can be prevented. So I'd like to ask you how we can avoid cataracts.
Number one is wear sunglasses, especially during peak solar hours. Number two, some of the best researchers in Boston have found that 500 milligrams, essentially a vitamin C a day, will reduce, markedly reduce the incidence of cataracts in women over 70. And that's sort of substantiated by many studies, but other studies, they've not found it, but it depends on what kind of vitamin C you give someone. Many times if you give people pills, the pills require the dissolving in the stomach acid. And if you don't have enough stomach acid, you don't dissolve the pill and it goes through you. So capsules are always better as a way of taking your vitamins and nutrition.
That's very, very critical information.
And the other thing is glutathione. Between vitamin C and glutathione are the two major antioxidants in the lens of the eye. And the way to build up glutathione is to give somebody a precursor or a glutathione booster. There's SAM-E, there's alpha-lipoic, there's N-acetylcysteine, and then the simplest one is MSM, methanol sulfonyl methane, because you just get the sulfur and you get the other amino acids in your food and you build that up. So those are several ways. The newest studies by a Russian Babarishev found that if you do a carnosine eye drop, L-acetyl-carnosine eye drop, you may be able to stop and reverse cataracts. A number of companies have L-carnosine as a vitamin. And one of the best is called Oclumed, O-C-L-U-M-E-D. And with Oclumed, people take it three times a day, and I've had three people reverse their cataracts. Now, a lot of other people just stabilize, but stabilizing isn't bad either. You know, obviously, a cataract is significant if it affects your life. But most cataracts are like a pyramid. If you look at a pyramid, at the very top are the most severe cases. There's no question you need surgery. At the very bottom are the people with the early ones, and you should be saying, thank you, doctor, for telling me, because now we're going to stop it. And we stop it with drinking water, vitamin C, a glutathione booster, and perhaps one of these antioxidant eye drops.
That's just overwhelming information. I just wanted to ask you, can we find this in your book?
You will find it in the next edition. It is mentioned in the book, but you'll find it on my website under cataracts. That website, again, is iAdvisory, EYEADVISORY.com.
This is absolutely fantastic. We need to mention, coming to the end to our program, that of course diabetes is such a horrible curse of our society. Needless to say, heart disease, hypertension, and we did talk about some other conditions like osteoporosis. All of this, unfortunately, relating to eye function, diabetes, one of them. Is this particularly researched by you, and you can, for example, say that this vitamin which you created yourself will be especially beneficial for people with diabetes?
Actually, what happens is this. A type 1 diabetic usually gets it in childhood and develops it because their pancreas is attacked by antibodies fighting a virus elsewhere, like a cold. So type 1 is a very tough one to prevent. Type 2, far more common, is due to obesity, is due to dietary infractions. And the more food and fat you eat, the more insulin you need. And if you run out of insulin, boom, your blood sugar goes up. So the moral of the story is people can do something themselves. Even people who are known as diabetics can lose 20 or 30 pounds and go off medicine altogether. There are multiple vitamins that are helpful to strengthen the blood vessels. As you know, that vitamin C helps build blood vessels, and the bioflavonoids will help cross-link and help. Pycnogenol is something good if people are diabetic. But a good basic multivitamin combination with the usual D, the omega-3, etc., is really helpful. And that most diabetics run into it because they eat themselves into it. I would mention, though, that women who have children give up their omega-3s to make the brains of their children. And therefore, women have more inflammatory diseases, macular degeneration, Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, even dry eyes. You know, think, oh, well, dry eyes, there's nothing to it. It's a clue. You're low in your omega-3s. You're too high in your omega-6s. So supplementing with your omega-3, especially if you can have high DHA, which is algae. It's fish that eat algae are the healthy fish. That's why farm-raised don't have, they don't feed them algae, they feed them grain, so they're omega-6. So all of these other diseases have a personal component where people can contribute and help out. You can't always treat hypertension, but you can also be aware that people change over the years. And as they change over the years, they may need less medication, especially if they're doing things right. So the moral of the story is, you know, you pay attention, you listen to the basic facts of life, you exercise, you look in the mirror every day, you say, how can I feel better? You develop an intention to do things, to walk, if not run, and practice the things that you know are going to work. And once they start working, you feel better altogether. So I rambled a little bit there, Lena, but you'll forgive me.
I like to sneak last couple of questions to see if there is a benefit or maybe a conflict. Coenzyme Q10, do you have an opinion on that?
Coenzyme Q10 is naturally made in the liver in the Krebs cycle. It is extremely important because it's one of the energy compounds that fuels the cells. And it is specifically blocked by the statin drugs, which makes them not my favorites. So I would try anything else before to lower your cholesterol. CoQ10 is helpful, especially in cardiac people, bad gums, etc. And coenzyme Q10 is a selenoenzyme, and just like glutathione. So these are really important things. Again, so supplementing it, especially if you're low in energy, is very helpful, and you will kind of almost immediately see an improvement if that's the case. But if you're in good health, in good shape, you probably don't need it. That's why you use your body as your workshop making those decisions.
I feel that the way we talked about iWorld, as I said, that we see the world through your eyes, made me aware personally, and with no doubts all our listeners aware, that there are so many things can be done, some of them very simple, some of them perhaps a bit complex, but it is all goes down to main principles. You have to be very well aware what kind of issues you have, how your body is changing, and what other opportunities to improve or to stabilize body changes can make it even work better. And I have to thank very, very deeply Dr. Robert Abel, who gave us such an incredible panoramic view of opportunities. I feel so much with more promise and with more hope that with my aging process, I would be able to have my eyes, if not the way it was at 15, but at least not to be obliged to have lenses or heavy glasses. So we are pro-vitamins. We are pro-wonderful food. We are pro-life with our eyes. On this note, I wanted to thank you so warmly, Dr. Abel. We're wishing him to have his second book as soon as possible. we're all going to run to this store to get his first book. And I'm sure you will find more happy clicks on your website. And with all of that, I will wish you personally the best of iVision and your professional success.
May I just add one thing?
Please.
When your doctor says nothing can be done, it's time to find another doctor. And there's such high-tech things coming out. I had a blind man come to me from another city today, and I told him about the new device that clips on your tongue. And you wear glasses that are connected to a backpack that go to your tongue. You clip it on your tongue, and after a few days, you start getting images, and you start seeing black, white, and gray in a different place in your brain than you normally see. And through the tongue, you can see again if you're totally blind. And that just dramatically tells you, you never know where there's other opportunities out there for people who are intent and don't necessarily realize that they know more about their body and could almost make a diagnosis 80% of the time. So good luck in your inquiry and good luck in continuing to listen to Lena, because she keeps looking for the best information and sharing it with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Abel Magician. I would say until soon. That was an extra edition of Lena Live. I'm Lena Mirmond. Have a beautiful eye vision. And with all of these colors and a joy in the world, I hope you will succeed in keeping yourself healthy and happy. Goodbye.